Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
This episode of Filthy Casuals is brought to you by Harry's Razors. Go to harrys.com/filthycasuals for $5 off an order.
And don't forget, if you live in Sydney, this weekend you can come and see us do a Filthy Casuals live show. It's going to be heaps of fun. Special guests, us doing a live recording, and then a Mario Kart tournament. It's happening at Cake Wines in Sydney, Saturday, December the 16th. That was nice. You can find tickets at our website, filthycasuals.com.au. Please come down. We'd love to see you guys there. Anything to add, boys? I've sort of said it all, haven't I?
Yeah.
Probably should have just moved on.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
Video games. Welcome to Filthy Casuals, a podcast about video games, hosted by three very kind and extremely knowledgeable boys. My name is Tommy Dasilo, and with me, as always,
Ben Vanel. It's episode 112, and here's Adam Knox.
Oh no! It's episode 112, and it's Christmas. Here's an elf.
Okay.
Really, the only one you could have done.
112, and this bit Ben's been doing's been shelved.
Yeah, it's all right.
Episode 112, and I've overstepped the mark.
I mean, it's almost like I threw it to you for a reason, because I didn't think I could rhyme anything with 12.
I wonder if there's anything more that rhymes with 12. It's episode 112. I wonder if there's any deeper we could delve.
That's probably the only word,
I was actually thinking about this on the drive over here, going, I wonder what that little scamp has lined up for us. Never could I have predicted that it would have been like this.
The left turn that I hooked into.
Now it's my bit.
What do you guys think about this?
Ooh, nice.
Just turned the light on in Ben's apartment.
Yeah.
You know what? I hate it.
Do you really?
Yeah.
We were just on the cusp of it being too dark to rely on natural light.
Yeah. Mm.
You've always hated this lights on, lights off review scale, Knox. Now it's passed into the real world.
There's a joke that what's his name who used to host Nevermind the Buzzcocks?
Simon Amstell
had about, like, you ever have those days when all you do is turn on a light switch once?
Oh.
And it really...
That's a hilarious joke.
He made it funny, but the bit that resonated with me was like, yes.
So that's why you hate lights, is because of that joke?
Yeah.
That joke gaslit you into hating lights.
It did. I prefer gaslighting, ironically. I don't like electronic lights.
Is that where you light a fart on fire?
Yeah.
That's the only way you illuminate your kitchen?
It's got to be a big fart if you want to read a book.
Now, lighting a fart on fire, when's that coming back?
What do you mean coming back?
I mean, you just never
hear... Baby, that never went out.
You just don't hear of people doing it anymore.
Maybe it's because you're an adult now.
Yeah, but, you know, Jim Carrey does it in Dumb and Dumber, and he's an adult when he did that.
Yeah, that's true. It is a pretty 90s thing.
It's a very 90s comedy thing, you know?
I feel like they don't slime people anymore as well.
Sliming, I'm fine. I'm fine to be done with sliming.
Well, but that was the 2000s one, the gross thing.
Right. But that was only at the Nickelodeon Awards, right? That wasn't a universal thing.
Yeah, no, that's true. What do the kids do now if they want to be gross?
Sext each other? Yeah. Snapchat? I don't know.
Dab into a pile of shit.
I reckon sliming's probably still happening. In the Nickelodeon, I don't reckon Nickelodeon would have let go of it. Something that they made so big. I reckon at their award shows and stuff, they still do it.
Mm. Well, speaking of awards shows.
Oh, shit.
Hey.
Kojima got slimed this weekend.
A lot of slime kind of looking stuff in Death Stranding, to be fair.
Yeah, that's true.
Maybe he's single-handedly bringing it back. And boy, oh boy, if there's a bit in that where you light a fart on fire, you hold L1, you hold L1 to aim the lighter.
Yes.
And then you're using the stick to kind of position it at the proper distance away from the anus.
Yes.
And then you're holding down the R2 trigger to let rip.
Shit, yeah. He will finally deserve the title of genius.
There's a bunch of shitting mini games in the South Park
game that
came out recently.
Great. Nice.
So that's the closest you've got at the moment.
Right.
But in the category for games that let you light farts on fire, no winners. And they shouldn't have had the category.
They persist from the 90s till now.
If they can't even think of a list of nominees, arguably they just shouldn't be bothering to present the award on the night.
You know, I haven't written down any of the people or games who won any of the awards.
Oh, yeah.
Because there are a lot of announcements. If you don't know what they are, the Game Awards are like this very corporate version of the Oscars that this guy, Jeff Keighley, who's like a big video games journalist personality person has set up.
He was on Spike TV, right?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah,
he's like us,
basically. Yeah,
influential figure in the world of gaming.
Yeah, very.
People live or die by what he thinks. The people that follow him just worship him like a god.
Yeah.
Just like this, the listeners of this.
That's right. The people who listen to him buy Switches or don't based on what he says.
Yeah. And then get annoyed at him for how much he's talking about the Switch in a move that drives him insane.
We're also a podcast that has broken a lot of world-exclusive trailers. We get a lot of announcements coming through us because of the reach we have.
Yes.
So I've got here just a list of...
So these happen on the Friday. There is an awards component, but for some weird reason, it's started being used as a breaking ground for announcements and trailers and stuff.
I feel like they used to do the same show on Spike TV or G4 or whatever it was.
Yeah.
And it was the same kind of thing that where basically anyone will... Video game companies will go to whoever can get eyes on things. That's why E3 is still a thing.
Yeah.
For now.
That's why E3 is still a thing.
So,
but it's like Breath of the Wild won best game, and we don't really know any of the other.
Yeah.
Breath of the Wild did really well. I know
Hellblade
Mario.
Hellblade won best narrative, which I disagree with, or something like that.
I disagree with that as well.
Yeah.
I'd argue Mario Odyssey has a better narrative than Hellblade.
But what I have here is a list of basically the announcements and stuff that went through. In order.
And there were a lot this year, right?
There were a fair amount and some pretty cool things.
Yeah.
I was surprised by it.
It really does seem like a second E3 at this point.
Like, yeah, or at least there's not as much stuff, but it's the only thing at the back end of the year. Well, because they had that PlayStation Experience thing as well.
That's right, yeah.
And there was barely anything that showed up as news from that.
Yeah.
The only thing I remember seeing is like God of War will be about 20 hours, which like...
Yeah, right.
Oh,
it's not an announcement. It's a liner note.
So do you want to just go through these one after another and
totally.
Then remember them? And then after I've read them all out in sequence, comment on them in order. And if you get the order wrong, we have to end the podcast.
Like this episode or just we stop doing
the
it forever?
The entire podcast is over.
The stakes are pretty high.
I reckon let's give it a go.
All right. From Software's new game, Campo Santo's new game, Guillermo del Toro's movie, weird semi-live trailer for Breath of the Wild DLC, Soul Calibur's... No, okay, we'll do this properly.
Yeah, thank you.
From Software, the first thing was like literally a 4-second long little clip of some kind of fleshy machine looking drill bit or something. From Software, the people that made Dark Souls and everything.
Okay.
Nothing to say about that because
except they're making a new game, which is cool because all of their games have been cool.
Exactly.
Basically just a proof of concept.
I think it's called Shadows Die Twice.
That sounds familiar.
It said those words at the end of the trailer, but it might also have just been some kind of slogan.
Or a poem.
I think those words sound familiar to you, Ben, because that's a reconfiguration of about 3 different James Bond titles.
Yes.
That's why you think it sounds familiar.
Yeah, that's very true.
That's true.
Shadows Die Twice.
That'd make
another
it,
day.
That's a
is
great
not
Bond movie name.
That's a great Bond movie name.
Let's get James Bond on the phone. I went to say Daniel Craig, forgot it, and in a split second said James Bond instead.
Use the character name.
Yeah, fucking Jimmy.
Next up was a
fucking Jimmy
Bond.
Is James Bond's other name.
Get an Aussie villain in James Bond who's just sitting around going fucking Jimmy.
Dr.
Fucking
Jimmy. No.
Very good.
Very nice.
Trailer for Campo Santo's new game was next. Campo Santo are the people who made Firewatch.
I did actually watch this one.
Yeah,
it looks cool. Like visually it looks great.
Not a huge amount of it's two women exploring a like old Egyptian ruin.
Yes.
But in like the 1910s ish.
Yep.
Yeah.
Taking a photo of it.
Right.
I was not sold.
Yeah.
I think that visually it looks cool. The very start of it in the environment, I was like, okay, this looks cool. And then as soon as the person started moving, and most of the trailer is in that first person view.
Yeah.
That was one of the things I hated about Firewatch was the movement of him when he like looked around and when he would climb up stuff. Yeah, I found very jarring how much his head moved around.
Discombobulated.
Yeah,
by that.
And they are absolutely back on their bullshit in that regard.
Yes.
And then I don't know. I mean, it's hard to take anything away from it. My view with it would be that it's, kind of exploring tombs and stuff in a kind of cartoony way, which may just feel like a very watered down version of like an Uncharted or a Tomb Raider, given that they've been two very big franchises in the last few years, but hopefully they've got enough of a different story-driven thing of it to make it unique. Yeah. But it didn't stick out as vividly for me as it would have if those games didn't exist or if I hadn't played them.
Just using Firewatch as the jumping-off point, though, you'd imagine it's more about these two characters' relationship.
Yes,
and
totally.
Yeah, whatever. And I can also see them going like, maybe this time we will write a kind of weird supernatural story and it'll become kind of like a weird mystery thing.
The fact that there's a second character in it that you actually see is a big departure for them already.
I can see it being some kind of story, though, about like two photojournalists traveling the world and struggling to keep their job or something.
Yeah,
like it might
be
really mundane
in
fantastical places or, supernatural.
Yeah.
But, I was a big fan of the first one and I'm looking forward to, seeing more of what it is.
Totally.
Yeah. 2019, that's coming out. There was a, showed a trailer for the DLC for Breath of the Wild and then had the developers up there, Enuma, is it?
Yep.
And just went, and go download it, please.
Now
that was cool.
I think we'll come back around to this later on.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Or do you want to just talk about that DLC now?
I played a bit of it.
Yeah.
We can do it now or we can come back to it.
Let's do it now, baby.
Yeah. Breath of the Wild, man. You just see something and you go and do it. And then maybe halfway through.
So this has been like weirdly done in the way that they kind of all year was saying, it's like November. And then November kind of came and went and just no word on it.
Yep.
And then them going, it's definitely coming out before the end of the year. And it's like, well, that's there's 2 weeks of that left. So, I wonder how much of this was deliberate all along versus, it's kind of a weird way to do it.
Yeah.
But it did mean that I thought that was a very cool way of doing it.
Yeah.
I guess they probably would have known coming from a fair way away that it was going to do very well at the awards. So I guess tying it in with that, because it did win a lot of the categories that it was nominated in. So me personally, I went to the Meredith Music Festival on Friday morning, and this all happened Friday at like midday, and I got no reception down there, but I did drop into service for about 5 minutes, long enough to see one of you in our chat go, oh, the Zelda DLC is up now. And I've never wanted to immediately leave something more in my hole, because I couldn't even get details about what was in it, and it made it very hard for me to enjoy myself for the rest of the weekend. Lo and behold, I get reception as we're driving out of the festival, and what do I see? These motherfuckers have gone and put a fucking motorbike into the game.
Yeah, they have.
Yeah, that's crazy.
So I've played the main part of it. It's not super long.
Mm-hmm.
And what you do is there's like four sort of monoliths that show up in each of the four main areas of the world.
Mm-hmm.
You go to each of them, accordion bird's there.
Yep.
Cass.
Yep.
And he's like, what the fuck's this thing? My old teacher used to know about him, though.
Which,
and then
by the second time, you have to imagine he's got somewhat of an idea by now.
As he goes on, as you see more of them, he's like, oh, you're here again.
Right.
So they kind of did do. And then,
but he's already seen you like 30 times in the main game before this happens.
I've got a little clue for you, buddy.
Like, they should be friends by now.
Yeah.
This is the next bit of DLC. Cass has Alzheimer's. You're just
music is the only thing that keeps him grounded to reality.
Oh, it's like a mnemonic device.
Yeah.
And then it's like Firewatch. You just like make a decision to bail on him and go to a different part of the wilderness.
Nice.
So three little images show up on these monoliths of like satellite photos of the world.
Okay.
You figure out where it is. You go there. There's some little task you have to do, which is like either go through these rings in order or like kill this thing. Stronger monster than it was before or whatever. And then a shrine shows up. You do those shrines, do all of that.
Yep.
And then you unlock Well, I don't. This is sort of a spoiler. If you want to skip this, if you're going to play it,
well,
but
I'm going to play
it.
I would love to hit the skip button.
Yeah,
it's a dungeon, right? It's like another thing that's like a divine beast.
You do some stuff, and then you get the motorbike.
Okay, cool. Yeah. So the motorbike is like the reward for doing all that.
I skipped a part
of it. You skipped the first bit. Yeah. So I've only done the first bit.
Yeah.
So the first bit is you go back to the very start of the game, the bit where you wake up.
Yeah.
And you get
plateau.
The plateau, yeah. You get given this new sword that's like a trident-shaped thing.
Mm. Yeah, it's like a weird fork, candelabra, Liberace type thing.
Yeah. Okay. It comes to life and it sings you a song about how you're welcome to stay in the house as long as you want.
Link Barachi grabs it.
It's called? It's called the One Hit Obliterator.
Ooh.
Something like that.
And it can kill any enemy in one hit.
But only twice in a row, and then it has to recharge, which doesn't take very long.
And you, for having it equipped, you die as soon as you take a hit.
Okay.
So it then gives you 4 points to go to in the Great Plateau, where there's a swarm of enemies, and you have to take them all out with this thing, and you can't switch weapons. So basically, if you take a hit, you're dead.
Yep.
And then when you take those enemies out, a shrine comes up, and then you do all those 4 shrines, and that's what leads you to the bit of doing the monoliths.
Yeah, okay.
So having only just done that part, I thought it was a lot of fun. Like, it does change it up a lot, like, for having played a lot of it.
That bit was cool. It gets a little bit – it's very much – trip down memory lane thing it's doing. Yeah. Like all the new shrines are good.
The new shrines are really good and they're laid out in very different ways to all the original ones as well.
I enjoyed all of that stuff. And some of the thing of the vanilla game was like discovering these new areas, which you don't get again, obviously. You can't repeat that. But it is a bit lame that once you've done each of those three sets of three shrines, you fight each of the bosses from the vanilla game again.
Oh, really?
Oh, right. Yeah.
And
that I didn't like because those bosses weren't great the first time round.
Yeah.
Wait, so you mean when you've done the
when you've done it,
monoliths?
When you've done all three of the activities that each monolith gives you, then you fight the boss from that area.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's a shame.
Yeah. Because then you're right, there is a dungeon at the end.
Yep.
And it's really good. I think it's my favorite out of the ones that are in the game.
Okay. Yeah, cool.
That's cool.
And all the shit that happens in that is really cool. Nice. The ending of the DLC is really good.
Yeah. That's great. I guess that thing of doing the bosses again, I mean, that's probably something to do with like it's hard for them to put completely new assets in given that it is DLC.
Yeah, but
also it is paid, so it's not unfair to accept an extra level of...
Yeah.
I almost would have preferred not to have done them at all.
Yeah, right. You're right.
To go through and do them again.
This like artificial lengthening of something.
It's such a Nintendo fucking thing to just go, you like these bosses enough, right? Like Mario Odyssey just did that as well.
But I was thinking that while I was playing it, not knowing that that was coming up, is that they do... They're very guilty of that in Mario, but in the past they've never really been guilty of it in Zelda so much, I don't think.
There's I feel like it does happen in one of the – or like a couple of – I can't remember really.
But Mario's – like always some of this is like pretty egregious, whereas I don't feel like they've ever
– having to go through and do all four of them again just really feels like – there's a kind of a thing of like the first time it took me ages to figure this guy out and now – I know exactly.
I get
the
it.
Tricks.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
But it, like, it shows you your progression in the game,
which also kind of makes it more boring.
Right. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Like, it's less. Yeah. Okay.
It's just a bit of a chore.
I got the impression from the trailer that you get a bunch of cutscene stuff of showing you stuff of the champions, and I think the champions are all really well done characters.
Yeah.
And
I have enjoyed those cutscenes so much more now that I've switched from the English voices.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
It is so much more engaging. But yeah, you get more.
Oh yeah, because that came out after you'd finished the game originally. Yeah. Right.
So if you haven't finished this yet, which you're in the situation of, Ben.
Yes.
It's kind of, it slots in after you've beaten those four dungeons and before you kill Ganon.
Great.
So that's a good place to play it.
I just really loved having an excuse to just play it again. I mean, I've sort of tried to pick it up a couple of times since beating Ganon and just have kind of found myself in a bit where I haven't immediately found something that's kind of gotten its hooks back into me again.
Right.
I still have a bunch of shrines that I haven't found, but just actually having a real purpose to it and it being this far away from the release, I was like, oh man, this is just so good to be back in.
It's very much pointed out to me that even though I like the shrines and I like the way it plays and all of that stuff, that the thing with that game that made me love it was exploring and seeing all this new stuff. And once you take that out of it, it is a lot less fun.
Totally. It is a different thing.
Well,
but it's still fun.
But even the bits that it sends you to, like, because there's so much of it, and even just finding, like, there's also new armor and stuff in it, yeah. And it basically, the way that's done, it's the same as the other DLC where it's like you go find a book that then has a little riddle about kind of where it is.
Yeah.
And just even that, like, making you go back to these places.
Totally.
Is so much more satisfying than if it just turned up in your inventory because, yeah, there's heaps of spots in there that I've been once and then forgotten about. Yeah. Like,
and the nooks and crannies are interesting to look at, but without that scale and that scope and that idea of like, what the fuck's around the corner?
Oh, the, the climbing the towers and watching the map and not knowing it was there was like one of my favorite things of anything I've played. It's, like, I got anxious about the map beat. Like, I wanted to complete it, but I was just like, oh, it's going to be such a bummer when there's not more unknown. Totally. Like,
and it turns out that it is a little bit.
Yeah.
Because then you go up real high and you fly somewhere and you're gliding and it's really cool.
Yeah.
But you're like, I know what that is. I know what that is.
Right. Yeah.
And it's still really cool that, like, the way that they dealt with having the draw distance be far enough that you can see everything all at once all the time kind of is so good and so necessary for that game.
Yeah. And so my question is, and I don't know if I've deliberately not looked up anything about it because I kind of want to find it for myself and just I can't wait to get it. But is the bike sick?
I have the motorbike and it's funny.
Right.
It, like, I don't really give a shit about it.
Okay.
Right, okay.
It doesn't control particularly well. You can't use it in certain places.
Oh, right.
It's a funny thing to give you. Like,
I
it's
think
a cool
that's,
thing.
Yeah. Right. Oh, there's also a thing in it where you
having
can,
like, a plane would have been cool. Like a proper.
Well, they said in an interview that they were going to have a hook shot in it. They cut the hook shot out.
Yeah.
Right.
And they had this idea that you were going to be able to use two hook shots where you would kind of fly around like Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Right.
But that got binned. But there's also a thing where you can get a saddle for your horse that means that you can summon it anywhere.
That is better than the motorcycle.
Really? Yeah, right. Yeah. Okay.
I really like that. The horse thing, I never used horses because I got one out once
and then
and it was too far away and I went, okay, well, fuck you then if you can't be bothered showing up and doing the work.
Like
in Red Dead Redemption or whatever, or The Witcher where it just, like, shows up.
Yeah.
You teleport to you, Assassin's Creed. And it just does that now.
Yeah, right.
And it's so, and it warps like you do. Like, they already had a teleport thing in that game.
Yeah.
But
that's what I think. When I read so the motorbike thing, I went, what the fuck? And then you see the picture of it and it's like, oh, yeah, there's already, like, crazy robots running around and there is all this high-tech shit in it. So it absolutely fits
in.
And
it's cool. It does feel fun to go around tearing about in this motorbike, but it doesn't control particularly well in it.
In terms of, like, DLC and an unlock for this, like, let's assume that it's the final bit of content that they're going to add.
I hope it is.
I just think that's great. Like, I think that's just such a genius move of, like, fan service, but also it's
something,
like,
that's just fun.
You've spent
it's
hours
not the best
and hours
part of that DLC though. There's other stuff that's in there where you're like, fuck, this is really clever. And there's a weird number of puzzles that use the motion controls.
You haven't gone up
to, you know,
yet.
Those little pedestals where you had to activate and it was the weird helix thing on top of it. There's an odd an oddly high number of them.
Right.
Because I never enjoyed them.
No, they're the worst.
Yeah, especially because I played it on the Wii U.
They might be the worst aspect of the game.
Yeah.
Yeah, they'd be up there.
Yeah.
Enemy variety.
Yeah. But I do think that, I just think that's such a great move of, like, hey, you've explored this world for, let's say you got it on day one and you've played it heaps and you're getting this stuff as it's coming out,
now
hundreds of hours.
Yeah.
And now here's this thing where you can, it's absolutely going to change the way that you can get around in it if you want to again. Yeah.
And that's the problem, is that it kind of doesn't really.
Right.
Yeah, right.
It's not that much of a, it's splitting it apart, like, I'm going to tear around here. And I kind of wanted it to be that.
Right.
Right.
But yeah, it's pretty good. And, like, if you've got the game and liked it and haven't bought the expansion thing,
hello.
I honestly don't think you're missing out on heaps.
Right.
I don't think you're missing out on heaps, but I think that it's, and that between that and the Master Trials and the and the, like I said, the armor stuff is all fine, but it just, the fact that it forces you to kind of go back and re-explore.
Totally. Look at this world in, like, more detail than you do.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. I think there's totally the value for money is there. If you're liking it, if you're liking it enough already to consider that.
Yeah. I don't hate that, it's kind of 50-50. It's fun if you get it. You're not missing out on anything if you don't.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, this was kind of hyped up as being
the big one, right?
Like, the big one where we were maybe going to get like a totally new area, which I guess is true, but I mean like a new part of the map. Story
mode was like a new story. Like, I'm sure that was the wording that was used.
Well, that's kind of, I guess that's sort of what this is.
It has more flashbacks.
Right.
Yeah. Which,
right.
Again, wasn't what I was after.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
And same. I guess to be fair, that's the story in Breath of the Wild.
Kind of. It's a big part of it at least. Yeah. So it's fine.
Yeah.
But again, what a strange position to be in where it's like this thing that, you know, minimum the core game people are spending like 150 hours on.
Yeah.
And it's like a great position to be in when it's like the DLC comes out. It's like, yeah, there could have been more.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing though. I guess the criticism is there could have been more of the part of the game that we really liked.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
But there's so much of that already that, like, it's just a victim of its own high standard.
Well, I've been playing Zelda again the past week. Mm-hmm. Heaps. Like, I got back into it and I've been, like, really punching through a lot of shrines. But I'm still, like, I've only done, like, 50-something shrines.
Right. I'm on, like, 70 or something like that.
I found the beach village for the first time, like, a week ago.
That was the last thing I found as well for some reason. Yeah, right.
And I'm like, I'm over 80 hours into the game. I'm genuinely still uncovering
stuff. There's still big patches when I turn on the path mode on the map. There's still big patches that I kind of have not been, like, I've kind of skirted around them that I've kind of been meaning to go to those and just kind of bypass through the middle and just see if there's anything there that I've kind of missed.
And that is still cool. But you're looking at it in detail and the effect was that scale, which is gone after a while.
Yeah.
Right.
But it was good while it lasted, much like the Soul Calibur series, which is dead. Wait a minute, it's back. Soul Calibur 6 was announced.
Yes.
I really thought that series was done with. But I think probably off the back of Tekken 7 doing so well.
Right.
Maybe Soul Calibur 6 has been announced. There's not a lot of information about it yet, but I fucking loved the first two of them and then kind of fell off of that series.
Yep.
But that's cool.
Sword fighting game.
Yes.
Yeah.
Or axes, or
melee weapons,
poles,
halberds,
a halberd,
scythe.
Oh,
yes, there was someone with a scythe.
Yeah, nice. The Grim Reaper,
scimitar.
Are you looking up types of just melee weapons, that. Nox?
I am trying to think of one more. I'm more of a lover than a fighter.
Shovel.
I can think of loving things. Dildo, beads, trailer for Battlefront 2 Season 1.
Okay.
That's the first set of DLC for Battlefront 2. They showed some of that. There's story stuff.
Yeah, okay.
With it, which I didn't expect. Yeah. It's all free because they attempted to make their money in a different way.
Yes.
And it all looks cool.
Yeah, I've been to more story from that game. That was fun. That was really fun.
And it's what's her name?
The main character? Aiden Versio?
Yeah. She's back and she's older than ever. It's her in like the modern Star Wars.
Yeah, cool.
So that looks cool. More multiplayer John Boyega's in it.
Fuck yeah. Finn.
Yeah.
I'm kind of annoyed by the fact that her name's Aiden Versio.
I think it's Verso? Verso?
Well, because in Rogue One, the character's name is Jyn Erso.
Yeah,
and it sounds real similar.
I think it's Aiden Versi. I can't remember.
It's similar enough that it annoyed me.
Yeah, if there was another character called like Garth Jada or something, that'd be really insane.
Yeah, grab her the butt.
Party on, Garth.
After that, that looks cool. After that, they played the Death Stranding trailer, which we did one of the YouTube video things we do.
Yes.
When we test our mics, you can go watch that if you want to think about what we thought of that.
If you want to think about what we thought of
it. Turn the volume off. Don't watch it. Have a little think about what we might have said.
Yeah.
But keep giving us them views.
Yeah. We're just sort of talking shit over the top of it, but we don't really go into it too. We can talk a bit more about it. Now.
Absolutely,
I mean, there's not a lot to take from it other than the tone of the game.
Yeah, and I think we kind of briefly mentioned this, like, it. And my big thing is, like, these are great short films, but Metal Gear Solid as a series has had really good creative cutscenes, and I've not connected with the gameplay for most of those games.
Right.
And there's nothing about this that makes me think that won't happen again.
That's starting to become my kind of fear a little bit, is that the fact that we're still not seeing any gameplay.
Yeah.
What does that say? Is that just purely a creative decision by Kojima, who's just like gets his rocks off on being this like kind of borderline filmmaker, an auteur, where he's just like, no, I just like getting up and showing little short movies.
The answer is yes. There's no, you don't need to say all. That's the answer.
Yeah, but it could be. It could speak to the fact that there's that it's just
that there's not much to show.
There's not much to show. It's not up to scratch or whatever.
It speaks equally true to both points.
Yeah,
I think there's definitely nothing to show gameplay wise, and he definitely loves showing these movies off.
Yeah,
completely. Yeah. And I like I've liked all of the games that he has made that I've played. I didn't like the story elements of 5, but that was sort of not a result of him directly.
Right. What about 4? Because I also had a problem with 4's story stuff.
I liked it it was stupid, and you're not to like it, but I really liked it.
Yeah.
See, I came to the PlayStation party like too late to kind of go in on Metal Gear now. I mean, a friend gave me 5 and I've got it sitting there and I've put about 2 hours into it. Mm. So I've watched the opening.
It's not too late to get into Metal Gear. Survive's coming out soon and it's going to be fucking good.
Yeah, maybe that's the one I'll go in on. Yeah. Maybe that can be my entry into the franchise.
And you're just like, this is a terrible series of games.
I love all these characters. Wait.
I've seen Jaws 4.
But I've always liked... You know, I like everything that he, in spite of not having played them, all the stuff I've seen of it, I like the style and I want to be in so badly. Yeah. So I'm kind of hoping that this can be a good entry into the world of Kojima, but I just want to know a bit more about what we're in for. Like,
I think that's somewhere a lot of people end up with Kojima too, is people are really into what he's about, but he hasn't nailed it. Really, in a while.
I think he nailed it with the first Metal Gear Solid, like that.
I think with the first 3 person, but yeah.
Well, and I didn't play 2 or 3, right. But that first one was like a fantastic game that rewarded skill and patience and all that kind of stuff, and had a kind of weird story.
It was cool as well, and it was well done, and it was so different.
And it was pretty groundbreaking. Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
I do think it's worth noting that as far as 5 goes, I feel like you guys are in the minority. People fucking loved that game.
It depends where you're coming from. Like, I really like the game part of it, and I do not like the story part of it. And I was coming to that being a fan of the series, wanting the story to be great.
I think that there is a disproportionately high number of people we know who love it. I don't know if it's universally loved.
It did pretty, made a lot of end of year lists that year.
I think
it's
one of those ones where over time people have weirdly flipped around on it a little bit too.
Right.
As in,
done a bit of a combat role.
Like, from good to bad.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. I mean, I think it's one of those things that comes out and is almost like too big to fail, where it's so big and bombastic that in a year where you come into the end of the year list, it's like, well, it sticks out. This is the best thing of all time.
And that is that aesthetic thing that everyone loves. Just like everyone's like, I fucking want to love this game. This is so cool. And then it's like, maybe it was kind of tedious for most of it.
Totally. Yeah. It was a little repetitive. It was bloated. And hopefully this time he nails it. Who knows what the fuck it is.
I mean, this stuff that we're seeing, anything that's very cutscene heavy, you know, you have to wonder, how much of this interesting stuff is actually happening in the middle of the game? Like, all these people floating up and being pulled down. If you're running around in a level and that's happening, then that's sick. But if you're just basically in a town and then you end up in this other world and you watch a cutscene and then you're just back in this normal town, that will be a bummer.
Something that we started to kind of note in the trailer, you specifically, Nox, the dream stuff.
Yeah.
If this is all fucking dream sequences, then oh no.
I think it could be cool if it's like an Inception thing where that baby that they're so obsessed with is like they're going into the baby's head to try and get some thought out of it or something. It's powered by baby's dream juice in the future.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like, I feel like it's going to be something to do with the dream world, but maybe it's connected to something else.
It would be
just a dream cat. He was wearing a dream catcher.
Yeah, yeah. I think it would be disappointing if it was all a dream.
If it was all a dream, but they can use the thing of people's minds affecting the real world or something.
Man, you're just sucking Kojima's dick.
No, that's real. The people's minds affect their world, you know? The way that you think about things.
I'm visualizing you shutting the fuck up.
I think, you know, the fact that death is in the title, I think it's maybe more of an afterlife thing. Dream thing.
Yeah. That's getting people back from the afterlife to rebirth them into those babies.
Ooh, or some kind of link between...
Millionaires pay millions of dollars to... Yeah. You want more than $1 million to do it. Seem dangerous.
Yeah. 1 mil.
Yeah.
I think, or it's certainly there being some link between dreams and the afterlife and something there, but...
A link between worlds.
Interesting.
Holy shit.
Maybe Norman Reedus can turn into a bit of paper and flat Stanley his way into the afterlife somehow.
Fuck yeah.
Acts like a piece of paper in The Walking Dead. Oh shit. No, he's actually all right.
He's
that
one
so
of the
sucks,
better
though.
Actors in that. Yeah.
But yeah, it all looks, yeah, I mean, again, we're all into it. Mm. Just who knows. Yeah.
Yeah, I hope it's fun to play as well.
But we still have no idea of when it's...
A very long time. Yeah. Metal Gear Solid 5 took him about 5 years.
Yeah, fuck.
So roughly.
And we were saying this just after we finished recording that video, but...
And it came out unfinished as well. So
yeah.
Like
yeah, yeah.
We were... But, like, Norman Reedus being trotted out for all this publicity stuff when it's ages away from coming out. Yeah. His involvement is probably done.
Yeah.
It's such a weird thing that he's just fucking tethered to this thing now.
Yeah. I guess that happens with movies as well.
Yeah, but the movies... But it's like, the movie's out in a month. Now you have to do like a month of junket stuff.
Yeah.
He's just going to be on this circuit for years.
Yeah, the movie's out in 2022. Can you please bring it up at parties?
I am starting to get the feeling that everyone involved thinks this is going to be the best game of all time.
Yeah.
Like they're all so in.
Yeah.
It just seems like they're like, fuck yeah, this is going to be like the art house video game to beat them all. Like,
I just hope it's cool. Like I hope it's weird and cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know,
it'll like be a shame if it comes out. It's like, man, this would have just made a cool movie. Because that's kind of what it looks like at the moment. It's like, if these were just trailers for a film, you'd be going, fucking yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of movies, they showed a trailer for the new Jumanji movie.
Oh.
Speaking of art house. I've missed something. We'll talk about Jumanji.
Mate, you've missed.
Well, because I didn't realize this about the new Jumanji movie.
You missed my birthday this year.
Yeah.
Do you know they're coming? It's a video game this time, Jumanji?
Yes, I've watched the trailer.
I think that fucking sucks.
I really liked the original Jumanji.
Oh,
yeah, me too.
We all do, yeah.
And the whole thing about that first Jumanji is it was this other world coming into the real world.
Yes.
Yeah.
And now they're stuck in the other world.
This is the most bizarre thing that remakes do, where it's just taking the core principle and just make this anything else.
Yeah. Do you want to know something that I know because I'm a Jumanji super fan?
Here we go.
There was an animated series of Jumanji.
Yeah,
I remember that.
They were in the jungle world.
That's true.
It was the reverse.
It was them trying to get home.
Yeah.
I think the fact that it's a video game world just rubs me the wrong way a bit too.
I take all of my love of Jumanji, the property aside. Mm. This one looks fucking awful.
Yeah. Seems like you think it's great.
Okay. You must have misheard me just then.
Jumanji,
but like,
what a stinker.
I'm off the rock train. I got to say that.
I'm not into him either.
Yeah.
What was the turning point?
He's making a lot of bad choices. Baywatch?
Yeah.
Come on, mate.
Rampage?
He just wants to be loved by everyone.
San Andreas?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like if I met The Rock, he would tell me to be more positive, and I hate him for that.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? I've visualized this in my head.
Yeah.
So it's going to happen.
You know what's a real good movie?
What?
Walking Tall with The Rock. That's maybe one of his first...
He's been in some great movies.
Yeah.
And he's good. But he's made a lot of bad choices lately.
I would argue that, though, in the realm of Hollywood, saying yes to doing a Jumanji reboot and a Baywatch reboot are actually very good choices.
Yeah.
Purely from a making bank point of view.
Which I think he continues to do.
Him being a big star and then wanting him, it's a smart thing for
and
him.
I guess
in the realm of Hollywood people making bad choices as well, he's not the worst.
That's fair. That's fair. But I guess he's just the Arnie of our times, and Arnie
is,
made a lot of shit, and he had made a lot of good stuff.
How old is he now? Because he feels like he's been around for...
Arnold.
No, The Rock.
Oh,
like
Dwayne.
It feels like The Rock has been a big movie star now for like...
Yeah.
10-15 years.
Yeah.
And the fact that he's kind of having this weird kind of ubiquitous peak now is weird.
He's like, what, he'd be
Siri,
late 30s.
How old is The Rock?
It's going to tell you what year the movie is.
It's not going to show me a boulder. Siri knows who The Rock is.
It's going to tell you what year the movie came out.
Dwayne Johnson is 45.
45? Motherfucker.
Wow.
Oh,
he's too old to be playing a video game to get stuck in.
That must mean that he was like...
Cunt, he was 30. What are you...
he wrapped up wrestling.
Being in movies.
Yeah.
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 But that makes... Yeah.
Yeah. That's when you would
that
wrap it
exactly
up.
That is exactly the age that makes sense.
Totally.
Yeah, exactly. Well, yeah. No, it's all dawning on me now. You weren't piping up before when I was asking. You had to ask Siri how old he was.
Yeah, but that's...
Just because it came from your phone doesn't mean that it's your knowledge.
Yes, it does.
That's how the world works now. It's whoever can Google something quickest.
Yeah, they own it.
Smartest. Smart.
Yeah. Fuck.
We'll say thank you to Siri.
Thanks. Bayonetta 1 and 2 for the Switch in Feb.
I've never played any of them.
Well, you can play them both for the price of one.
I remember I played a demo of the second one on the Wii U and thought it seemed cool, but not enough at the time to go in.
Yeah, but well, soon there's going to be three of them.
All three of them, yeah. Because
Bayonetta 3 got announced as well. So 1 and 2 re-released in February on the Switch, which is cool because, 2 was one of those games that kind of got trapped on the Wii U.
Yeah, right. And what kind of games are these?
Well,
are
I'll tell you, because I played the demo and was like, oh, yeah, this is all right. This is all right.
Yeah.
And the thing that's made me more interested in it lately is I listened to an episode of Canon Rinse that they did about Beautiful Joe, which I don't know if you ever played that. But
No, but I've seen it.
Yeah, like where you can, little action fighting game where you can like pause and rewind time and do all this stuff.
Yeah, was that a GameCube?
GameCube, and then I think they ended up bringing some sequels out on a whole bunch of different consoles. I think it ended up coming out on heaps of stuff. But they were sort of saying that it's a shame that that game, that franchise has kind of died off, and then they make the point that Bayonetta is basically is basically the same game.
Yeah,
character action games, they call them. Like Devil May Cry is one, Metal Gear Rising was one.
Right.
Near as elements of one.
Right. Right. So is it God of War-ish?
A little like more fast-paced and sort of a little different to that.
Very arcadey fighting and
Wasn't the weird thing about like the clothes is like the...
Your clothes rip off when you go into
it. It's her hair. Makes a bunch of different stuff. She's like a witch.
Right.
And they've got like a dumb, goofy sense of humor sort of thing. So, I've never gone too deep into either of them.
I'm excited for it to be out. I mean, it's kind of... Fuck, it feels like a bit of a chore that 1 and 2 are coming out at the same time. It's like, just pick one and bring that out. Like, if we've never played it, then just put your eggs in one basket.
Yeah.
But what are they? They're coming out as, to be fair, they're coming out as it's 2. And then 2 has a download code for 1 in the box.
Oh, yeah. So it's the price of 1.
Yeah.
Right.
Which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
And there being a third one coming along, I mean, I'm excited to get to go in. It's a smart move. Makes sense. Yeah. Like, no one played it because it was the Wii U. But, having gotten interested in it again recently after hearing that comparison to a game that I really like, I'm excited about this now.
Nice. Exactly. Bayonetta, I barely know her. I have a note here that says the announcer lady accidentally said best game erection instead of direction.
Nice.
Now you say you have a note here. You wrote the note.
Yeah. And I have that note.
And you treasure that memory.
Yeah. No, there were a couple of giggles from the crowd, as I remember.
Excellent.
There were a million ads.
That's disappointing. Like, that should be, in a just society...
Stop the show!
Yeah. They'd have to, end broadcast. Yep. Surveyors are come in because the roof is starting to cave in.
Like in when you're in school, if, like, the magnetic eraser fell off the whiteboard.
Oh, yeah.
You go, brah, this teacher's a fuckwit.
Yeah, but the magnetic...
The laws of gravity shouldn't apply to a superior.
But then a magnetic eraser falls off and hits a marker that goes flying and by coincidence writes erection on the whiteboard.
And as everyone goes to watch the marker move, they see a dog outside and he's gotten in the school somehow.
Yeah.
And I imagine it's snowing in America. They seem to get excited for that at schools.
Water bombs, muck up day.
Yes.
It was on muck up day.
To any American listeners, if you're looking outside right now, the snow falling down, good on you.
Yeah. And keep in mind that in Australia, I'm kind of quite hot.
Yeah,
it's pretty warm.
It's warm. It's a warm one. It's warmer than I thought it was going to be.
Oh, should we do a weather report?
Yes.
Okay, hang on. I want to get the app up so this is accurate.
Yeah.
So it's currently 8:30 p.m. on...
That's not a temperature, Tommy.
Monday the 11th of December. No, I'm giving context.
Oh, okay.
And currently outside in Thornbury...
Yes.
It's 18 degrees and sunny.
Well, that's not very hot.
It's pretty warm, but we're also upstairs in a not super well-ventilated apartment.
Yeah. Yes.
We like to keep the smell in.
It's going to be about 14 overnight.
Okay.
It's going to be 37 degrees on Wednesday.
Fuck off.
That's pretty cool.
That's incredibly hot.
That's really hot.
Wow.
We normally record this on Wednesday, so thank God we're not doing that.
I'm going to my sister's graduation on Wednesday. It's going to be
really?
A stinker, yeah.
Oh, man, she's going to be wearing one of those fucking robes in that heat.
Oh, well, it'll be... She's
going to slip over on her own sweat when she gets up on the stage.
It'll be an air-conditioned...
And her mortarboard's
going
to go flying and it's going to go into someone's neck like Odd Job.
Mm. What?
And then she's going to...
And then she'll turn into them.
Yeah. Yeah. And they're only in second year and then she'll say, here we go again. And that'll be the start of the greatest summer movie of all time. A million ads for Warframe took place.
Yeah. Now, is that one of those like free-to-play online multiplayer things?
It's exactly that. Yeah, and it's like don't a shooter a type thing. No, I couldn't care less either, but I think
it is our job to report.
And it's also yeah. suffering for having been announced after a woman accidentally said erection. Let's yeah. not forget that. Even if it had yeah. been, I feel like we would have all missed the Zelda DLC if that had been
we'd be
at
in
this
hysterics.
Point of proceedings.
But yes, that happened. We don't really care. But yeah,
you finish the final shrine of the DLC and then Link gets a big boner. The end.
A few different VR things. Some game Justin Roiland is in, the Rick and Morty guy.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And it is exactly what you think it is. You're right. trapped inside a virtual hell where Justin Roiland keeps coming up to you going like, oh, I'm talking a little bit, having pauses in the manner of my speech so it sounds sort of casual, which is the thing with comedy at the moment.
Totally.
To have a bit of a and change your sentence halfway through.
And the thing with comedy about 5 years ago was to like reference itself and be very meta, so that's great. Yep.
The thing about comedy in 5 years, tearing down other comedy.
The thing about comedy right now, erections.
At Meredith, which is a music festival that happens in country Victoria. Yep. We should say that you've been to a few times, Adam.
Uh-huh.
I walked past someone's campsite and they had a Pickle Rick flag. Ooh. Now, how'd they end up in the mix? Oh. Don't you know, doesn't that seem like a group of people that wouldn't be interested in a music festival?
That's the Venezuelan flag and you're being...
You shouldn't have burnt it, basically. Fuck.
Venezuela's national anthem, Get Swifty.
Nice. Very nice.
Oh,
oh, Adam likes that one. He's really tickled himself.
I liked the noise Ben made immediately after that.
It reminded me of like
one
of those...
Imagining everyone at the UN going, ah, oh, fucking Venezuela again. To be fair, you have to have a pretty high IQ to be a citizen of Venezuela.
Oh, nice.
It reminded me of like one of those... Facebook ads you get that like is auto-generated and it was like an Adidas like symbol but it was Rick's head and it said Swifty instead of Adidas.
Yeah.
It made me want to vomit.
Or
you know what I love? When
those...
corporations take jokes and kill them.
Oh.
I like those auto-generated ads where it's like, hey, you might like this jumper and it's a jumper that literally just says Ben on it.
But like, it's a Ben thing.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Those are the best. Yeah. Those deserve more credit.
There was one of those automatically generated jumpers that said keep calm and Adam Knox.
Well, I know what we have to get for our live show.
Oh, yes.
Oh.
Let us know if we made up t-shirts in that design that said keep calm and Adam Knox, would you buy one?
Don't. I stand to directly benefit from this and I'm telling you, do not do it.
I'm happy to take my cut and give it to you, given that it's your name on the shirt. I don't want any money for this.
I will be giving it to the Queen of England, who truly owns that phrase.
You're old, mate.
Yeah, we go way back. Little Big Planet's developers Media Molecule showed their game that's been around for fucking years.
Right.
It's been shown a little bit, called Dreams. And it's basically the same sort of concept as Little Big Planet, so make whatever you can think of.
Right.
Yeah.
But it's more three-dimensional and looks like it's more flexible. That it looks cool.
Right.
If people use it to create cool stuff, which...
Which people seemed to do for Little Big Planet, yeah. But it's also... It was never stuff that I particularly engaged in.
Totally. Like, well, but I didn't really like the way that game played, so I
yeah,
never
me
really
either.
Liked that stuff. It always felt bad. So
yeah.
If they can... fix that with this one, then
the way that it was kind of floaty in the way that I remember the way that you grabbed onto things
and you like move the arms independently. It was very strange.
All of the physics felt very loose and like they were stuck in jelly,
which was weird because it was clearly something that they'd spent a lot of time on and thought was like doing something, and I'm sure other people would like it, but for me I was just like, this just is off.
Yeah.
I think it benefited from being like a really early console game that incorporated all the community stuff really, really well.
Totally, yeah.
But yeah, I didn't find it that fun to play.
But I'm up for them trying again.
Yeah.
New stuff for PUBG, which is PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds.
So Desert Map's already out, right?
It's on like the test server, so you can play it now, but it's not in the main thing yet. And there's like vaulting.
Right.
So jumping over fences.
Right.
Doesn't sound like a big deal, but it is.
Yeah, yeah.
It's so funny that this game is so big and people talk about it so much and it's technically not out yet.
Mm.
It's out by the time this episode is out.
Oh, wow.
Really?
I think.
Wow.
Okay, but still.
So it is officially...
it is releasing this month at the very least.
Right. It'll be up for Game of the Year.
Yes, it will.
Yeah.
And that game is so fucking fun and that map looks great. And I'm just keen for them to keep adding stuff to that forever.
Nice.
I really like that game. What else we got here? There's some game called GTFO It's a squad zombie that sounds shooter awful. Thing. It did not look good. It's by the people who did Payday.
Okay.
A game I've never played.
Yeah.
Speaking of things that are not awful, let's do an ad.
Oh, yeah.
You know the best segues where you go, speaking of the opposite of the thing we were speaking about.
Yeah. You were thinking about something bad. Now think about something good. Our sponsor, Harry's Razors.
It's like changing 12 dead in that car crash. The puppies were on patrol today. Yeah. As a new bunch 12 of dead. Police
a dogs. Dozen puppies were released into... So Harry's Razors is sponsoring this episode, as they have done before. And now, it's a particularly good time of year to talk about razors.
It's a red letter week.
What?
I've never understood that phrase. I shouldn't have used it.
I didn't understand it then.
I know when someone says something is an important time, they say it's a red letter day. I think you maybe used to send a red letter to mark an occasion.
Oh, yeah.
Continue.
It'd stick out in the mailbox.
But wouldn't everyone then just like put their stuff in a red envelope so the system would become...
Yeah, it'd be like when you get a priority email where they've all got the exclamation marks. It's like, Harvey Norman's having a sale. Oh, glad I saw that.
Well, that's why we all have to monitor our own misuse of things and be more responsible. Speaking of responsible, Harry's is a very responsible company. They've chosen to sponsor us. But as I mentioned before, it's... Harry's is a good thing to think of when it comes to gifts. It's a gifting time of year.
That's true.
And Harry's have specifically released a gift pack. So there's it's got it's got their 5-blade cartridge, close shave razor. It's got foaming shave gel. It's got a limited edition winter chrome and emerald green handle, which just sounds very tasty, if you ask me.
That's like a candy cane.
And you can personalize this razor handle with an engraving, if you so wish.
I like that.
So this gift set, just to repeat, it's got your blades, it's got your shave gel, it's got your winter chrome and emerald green handle, and you can engrave that mother.
If someone gets this and sends us a photo of their engraving and it says, "Keep calm and Adam Knox," we'll send you something.
That might be too many characters, but give it a go.
Well, great. Then we never have to get off our asses and do anything for them.
Yeah.
Can you still get iPods engraved?
Oh, I got mine. When I first got like an iPod Mini, probably. Yeah. A silver one. I got my name engraved on it.
Wow.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
What a virgin.
I'm a special little boy.
I never got an engraving because I sat there for about 2 hours trying to think of a good engraving.
Right.
That's why I don't have any tattoos.
Yeah.
Can you remember what the shortlist was?
Honk honk or whatever. Just
honk was on the short list.
It's number one. But I just couldn't think of anything particularly good.
Hey, whose iPod is this? It says honk honk on it.
Goose comes up.
Keep coming, Adam Knox. That's right. Yeah, yeah. Okay.
Oh,
fucking honk honk.
That's so great.
I when I was 18, I was thinking about getting a tattoo of the Nintendo, like the Mario mushroom.
Oh yeah.
And I didn't, and I don't regret not getting it.
See. That's so weird to me because by your own admission, you barely like the Mario games at all.
I liked them up until that point when I was 18.
Right. Okay, fair enough.
Yeah. Yeah. So fucking jump off, bitch.
I want to get the code that they can use to get $5 off tattooed on my arm.
Okay. Well, so just before we get to that, the gift sets start at $10. So that's pretty good. They also come in gift boxes. So it's you don't have to do any work. Just give it to your dad. Give it to your boyfriend.
Make sure they don't listen to this so they know how little you've spent on
that's
them.
That's correct. And yeah, you can go to harrys.com/filthycasuals. And you'll get $5 off your order. So if you're getting a 10 bucker, that's down to a 5 bucker.
Holy shit.
That's a fucking cheap gift, baby. this holiday, give Harry's and give handsome.
I would say
you've interrupted the prophecy.
Pardon me.
Get your holiday shopping done early and take advantage of free shipping.
Oh, shit.
I had to read that one verbatim. Sorry.
Yep.
Have at it.
I would say another category of people that would be interested in this, not just gift givers. Let's say you're a department store Santa.
Yes.
And I thought you were going to say you're a department store.
Yeah.
You can get around all that red tape.
You can undercut this price.
And just chuck a few extra bucks on it. You're making a sweet profit.
Department store Santa. Now, one of the last people I would think would want to shave.
Yeah.
But come December 26th, maybe you want to get rid of that beard, especially in this country. It's summer, baby.
So this is targeted at dads.
Mm-hmm.
Boyfriends,
mm-hmm.
department store Santas,
mm-hmm. ZZ Top impressionists who are wanting to get out of the game.
Okay.
Let's not be gendered. It's 2017. There's some fucking hairy women out there.
That's true.
Yeah,
they might want it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
So mum's girlfriend.
If you got a neighbor's dog who you hate.
Mum's girlfriend, Mrs. Claus's.
Wow, what a move. Giving your mum a razor set on Christmas. From her darling child, like, mum, you're a bit hairy.
I mean, menopause hits hard.
And that's written in the card.
Yes. It's written in the copy.
What was that website again?
Harrys.com/filthycasuals.
Hell
five,
yeah.
Five bunkos off.
Mm. No, I don't have a segue.
All right.
Metro Exodus, there was a trailer for. This is towards the end of the presentation now.
Yep. It's a sweet looking game, that Metro Exodus.
Yep. Mm. They showed a bit more walking around in wintertime, sort of Russia-ish.
Yep.
I don't know if it's in Russia, but it's around there.
Yep.
And it looks cool.
Yep.
Not a huge amount of stuff, though. So that was most of the stuff from the Game Awards, and then a couple more announcements happened over this bloody weekend. Get a load of this.
Yeah.
Last month of the year, people are wanting to get in hot before 2018 rolls around.
Who would have thought that we would have this much to talk about this late in the year? Next week, different story.
Yes.
There's a new Tomb Raider. Extremely boring game.
So that's Mario teaches typing, except it's Lara Croft.
And it's just the one word, tomb, and it shows up on the TV and you read it as many times as you want.
The console has no way of registering whether you read it correctly.
No. It's one of those sort of things where you have to play along yourself, mm-hmm. be honest with yourself and keep score.
Mm-hmm. I think Tomb Raider is that new Campo Santo game.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Tomb Raider, a new game, was like confirmed on Twitter by them because they wanted to be like, hey, we're not going to show anything. There was a rumor that we were, but we are working on a game.
Yep.
But when we show it, it's going to be close to release.
Yeah, nice.
Which I think is a really cool thing of them to say because, like, a fucking course it's being made.
Yes. Yeah. So Rise of the Tomb Raider was like 15th of the best games of all time on that Time 100 list.
Yeah, was it?
Yeah. Mm.
That's
It was really high.
It's not that good. But Street Fighter 30th Anniversary is the other thing that was announced.
Yeah, this is a collection with, like...
It's got all of the 2D Street Fighters, basically.
Yeah.
So that's, like, one, all the versions of 2 and 3 and the Alpha series.
Yeah.
Right.
And which they just bought out Street Fighter 2 on the Switch a couple of months ago.
Like technically a new version of that, but with two kind of lame new characters.
Was it called Street Fighter 2 Turbo?
It was Hyper Street Fighter 2 Turbo, I think.
Right. It was a port with some HD graphics.
Yeah,
and
exactly. And the kind of bad HD graphics from 2006 or whenever that was, when they made that 360 version, and HD graphics of 2D stuff back then looked a little like Flash animation.
Newgroundsy,
totally.
So you'd be spewing. I mean, it's kind of on you because it was already a bit of a piss take to bring that out at full price.
Yeah. I don't think it was full price. I think it was like two-thirds price.
I thought it was $80.
I don't think it was 80. It probably would have been 40, 50.
Okay.
Yeah.
Which is still high for a game that old.
Yeah. Oh, it should have been a $15 download.
Yeah.
Like it.
Given that it's on the SNES Mini, which was like $100.
Now they've kind of themselves told you exactly what it should be valued of.
Yeah.
About one ninth of full price.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a fucking bummer for anyone who went in on that. But
I'm imagining everyone who did was either starving for something to play on the Switch at the time or a massive Street Fighter fan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
I mean, for it to come out that quickly. I mean, this would have been in the works, presumably, when they bought it out, which is kind of hard to swallow.
Maybe not. I mean, like, it's relatively simple, I imagine, to convert those games.
But it's an anniversary collection, which it's a timed thing, so they know
if it's anything
out.
Like my bloody anniversaries, they got this from the service station on the way home.
Nice.
Very good. Hello.
I hate my my wife. That's comedy as well.
Hello to Knox's girlfriend.
I think that's cool. I think that's cool that's coming out. I didn't really have any interest in getting the number two, but I might get this.
And so not all of them have online multiplayer, but some of them do.
Oh, yeah.
Basically the final versions of each of them have multiplayer, which is great.
And that's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm stoked for that. I'm going to definitely get it. I'm not sure if it's just the Switch or if it's on everything.
I think it's on everything.
Yeah, cool.
Right.
Perfect. Well, them's the news.
That's
are they also
that was the week that was. Good night, everybody. My name's Worst Newscaster.
Wake up, Worst. There's one more thing that I just remembered. There's a Mega Man thing.
They've
got a new Mega Man
11.
Yeah. And they're also doing a legacy collection of all of the Mega Man X's.
That's correct.
Yeah, right.
I've never played any of the X ones.
I started playing the one that's on the SNES Mini.
Right.
All right.
Is that just the first one?
Yes.
Okay.
But people love those games, yeah. And that's cool. And it's also cool that there's a new one coming.
Totally. Yeah. I have Mega Man 2 on the NES. And I
kind of wish all those were in the collection as well.
There's another collection. Yeah. With them.
Oh, really? Oh.
Yeah, I think they've done two already and they're split between that or something.
Right.
Okay, right.
And my memory of it was that it was like, these aren't great conversions of them somehow.
Fuck, it's a shame when they do someone does a port or an emulation, yeah, and they kind of fuck it.
Yeah.
It should be the easiest thing you can do.
Yep. Yeah.
Keep it the feel exactly the same, but yeah.
Yeah. Why don't they just make better games?
It's simple. Just do it better.
Thanks. I'm glad you guys understand my position. Well, I guess that's us for another week here at Filthy Casuals.
Before we finish up,
I've got another thing as well.
Yeah. What's your thing?
Monster Hunter.
Okay. Talk about it, baby.
They had a beta over the weekend. It was basically the same demo that was at PAX.
Right.
But I got to play more of it. That game, I'm really, really into.
Yeah,
it's nice. It's cool. There's a lot of different weapon types.
Yep.
And each one of them basically plays like a fighting game character.
Oh,
so they're,
yeah,
all very different from one another, and you have to kind of learn your shit with them.
Yeah, cool.
And I really am looking forward to spending more time with that game.
Nice.
That's basically all I have to say about it, but it seems cool.
Great.
I have been playing a game called The Sexy Brutal. Possibly the worst named game of all time. It's a shit name. It's a fun game.
Right.
It's a nice little rhyme I just came up with.
Yep. Shit name, fun game. Ben's new segment.
It's kind of set in this kind of horror, macabre, like 1920s, 30s hotel casino thing. Mm. And you kind of wake up and you've got this weird mask on. It's like a masquerade ball thing. And you can like move from room to room. It's an isometric view.
I prefer Gatorade to masquerade.
You can peek through the keyholes to see what's in the next room, or you can go through the doors. And basically what you're doing is watching people get murdered, reversing time and trying to save them.
Cool.
And so you kind of pick up how to do that by like getting items, going from room to room, following people's movement patterns, and kind of intervening when you can. And it kind of gets more complex as it goes on.
And do you have to like not be seen or...
Yeah, if you're in... You can't be in a room with another person.
Right.
You can... It doesn't automatically fail. You just have to get out of that room immediately.
Okay. So as an example, say they are murdered by a brick falling on their head.
Right.
If you can get into that room and move the brick...
Totally.
They won't be murdered in that room.
Yeah. And that's obviously cool. There's some kind of thing of like, well, to get to the brick, there's like pigeons on the ladder and you got to get the pigeons away with some pigeon seed. And
man, pigeons, they never move if you come at them. They're hard to move.
Oh, no, they're sturdy bastards.
And this is all indoors, you're saying?
Well, not really pigeons, but like... The very first one, it's basically a tutorial. Mm-hmm. Someone gets shot. You have to go into their room when they're not in there and replace the bullet with a blank.
Yeah.
And you see that unfold, and then you like, you take on powers of the people you save, and it
that's cool.
Kind of adds complexity as you go.
This thing's fucking great.
That looks really cool.
And the aesthetic's really cool. The music's great. Mm. It's. I remember hearing about this about a year ago.
Because it's been out for a while, yeah.
Yeah.
It just came out on the Switch.
Yes.
Okay.
And I heard it was great. And yeah, it's just like a really fun puzzle game with a cool aesthetic. And
yeah, cool.
It was like $30 on the Switch. And yeah, I'm having a good time with it.
Awesome.
I want to give another quick shout out because I was playing a bit more of it recently. And it's in the exact same category of cool aesthetic, fun little puzzle game, horrible, horrible name. Lovers in a Dangerous Space-Time.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Really, really good.
Yeah,
and
nice.
Yeah, I think with both of those, I, for a long time with Lovers, was just like, I hate this name. I'm not going to go in. And I've had it with The Sexy Brutale.
Right.
If you're looking for something over the break, just do what you can to overcome that.
Yes.
I know it's hard, but these sound like two that are worth the time.
Yeah, totally.
I've been playing a cool city management game with a bad name as well. It's called Butt Fucking Is the Only Type of Fucking I'll Accept.
Okay.
But you're the mayor. It's just a city
sim. Keep going. Keep going.
Keep going.
Well, like,
all right. Now that, if I'm not mistaken, does actually bring us to the end of the program.
Correct.
Thank you all for listening. Sydney this weekend, filthycasuals.com.au for tickets. Saturday at 1 p.m. at Cake Wines, doing a live show, Mario Kart tournament after the recording. We'll be sticking around.
Yeah.
We'll have the Switches with us if you want to I think we've got to get out of the venue because there's a function on, but we'll work something out.
Totally.
Knox and I doing stand-up at the Comedy Store in Sydney on Thursday, Friday, yeah. Saturday.
Make a full day of it.
That place is great too.
It's a great venue.
Great lineup. Yeah. Great venue.
I think it might be close to selling out.
They're close to selling out.
Yeah.
Right.
But yeah, that's what we'll be doing after the show. Yeah, looking forward to seeing all the filth up in Sydney.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's going to be a lot of fun. So yeah, get on your tickets. Not much longer to go until that happens. Meanwhile, if you want to support the show on Patreon, you are very welcome to, and it's very much appreciated from us here. And yeah, we have t-shirts on sale. We have all sorts of stuff. filthycasuals.com.au for all that information.
The YouTube as well. Just get on. We have just Filthy Casuals on YouTube, and we do videos every week.
Oh, and you guys, for people in Melbourne, you have your Chimp Cop Comedy Festival show on sale now through comedyfestival.com.au.
I think my show is on sale too.
Right. Well, I know for Chimp Cop, go to chimpcop.com.
Yeah.
And go to upcoming shows.
Go and look at my Twitter, probably.
And mine will be on sale too at some stage, hopefully not too far away.
Nice.
If you're in New Zealand, I'm coming over there in March too for the New Zealand Fringe.
Mm.
You don't need to know that yet, though. Probably it's a long way away.
All right. Thanks for listening. And as we say here at the end of every episode of Filthy Casuals,
I'd like to thank everybody who helped me win this award for Best Game Erection. My dad. Yeah, he helped a lot.
That's all.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates. I mean, if you want. It's up to you.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.